we could all make it out. Yesterday we went down to the Children's Festival down at Tidewater Park, aka the Great Germ Event. But it was a good time out there with all the little kiddies running around. And needless to say, mine didn't all the way make it. So they had a little cold this morning, so they stayed in today. So mine aren't here. But they had a good time yesterday. They say they partied a little too much, maybe, out there at the event. But today we want to not hold you too long, but I did want to bring a message of inspiration. If you have your Bibles, we turn to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. And it's going to be the second chapter. Book of Exodus, second chapter, verse 5. I'm sorry, 14:5. Let's see, second. Exodus 14, verses 5-14. Look at all that paper rattling. All right, everybody got their books today. Wow, it's usually just some phones and real quick Google search. I like it. Exodus 14, verses 5-14. My apologies. And it reads as thus. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of his best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all over them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Haroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Father God, we ask right now that you allow the Holy Spirit to give us the discernment, the intellect, the reasoning to hear the words that you want for us today. Help us to understand the message that you want us to partake, to help us in our walk with you and understanding better your purpose for our lives. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Are we victors or are we victims? Are we victors or are we victims? A lot of times in life, There's always things we have to go through every day, every situation, some better than others, some tougher than others. But there's always something we have to go through. But how do we see ourselves in those situations? Great philosopher said, if you want to, you have to change your interpretation of the situation if you want to overcome. You have to change your interpretation of the situation if you want to overcome. Sometimes you're a lot tougher than you think you are. You think in the moment, how am I going to get through this? Or in making a decision, like, I'm not going to do that because I can't do that. Well, we serve a God that says we can. And when God makes a way for us to do something, we can't allow ourselves to keep us from walking into what God has for us. Sometimes to live is an act of courage. Just living itself is a courageous thing. Someone says the art of living is more like wrestling than dancing. Well, we like a good dance. It's kind of us with someone else and just having fun along the way. But a lot of times it feels like a wrestle, doesn't it? It's a struggle. Wrestling with ourselves, trying to figure things out. Life isn't always easy. We don't expect it to be. Figuratively, literally, we get punched, we get bruised, maybe get a couple of broken bones. But we have to imagine ourselves as the strongest person in the room. You're stronger than you think you are. Whenever others try to harm you, imagine that just like little arrows just bouncing off your golden armor that's protecting you. Oh, I would say that you're a giant and that everything else that's trying to harm you are just little ants. Nothing can get in the way of what God is trying to do through you and in your life. So whenever harm does come your way, I would say remind yourself to thank God that I'm so strong, that maybe this could have broken others, but this is not going to break me. And so today I want to look at the scripture and see how we interpret for ourselves who we are going through this thing called life. Are we the villain? Are we the victim? Or are we the victor? See, we look at the story, we all know it well. We've probably seen the Ten Commandments a few times, whether it was Charlton Heston or the cartoon version or the Sunday school. We know the story. But where are we in this story? So I want to pull out a couple of characters and see maybe if you can see yourself in them. First, there's Pharaoh. Good old Pharaoh. Just minding his business. Pharaohing, if you will. Running a kingdom. Looking after the people, trying to do what he thinks is best. And along comes Moses, his old buddy, his old brother, Moses. Probably happy to see him. Moses says, hey, happy to see you too, but I have to ask a request. My God wants you to release all the slaves. Yeah, those people who you rely on to do all the things you don't want to do. God is saying, let them go. You have to do all that stuff yourself now. Well, that would disrupt any economy. And so Pharaoh's like, I love you, brother, but I'm not going to do that. And by his no, it eventually led to his downfall. Now, he wasn't making a bad decision from a logical standpoint. So why is Pharaoh the villain here? Well, the Bible says Pharaoh and his officials, they changed their minds about the slaves. See, at first he was going to say, okay, after the plagues, you know, the plagues came, the locusts came, took his firstborn son. After that, he said, okay, fine. You've destroyed me enough. Get these people out of here. And he's going to let them go after the tragedy. But then he changed his mind. And he said, no, what have I done? We have to go get these Israelites. I can't let them go. They have to stay and serve us. And so at that point, he definitely becomes the villain. And he kind of takes on the aspects of a villain. Now, I'm one. I kind of like villains in movies. I mean, who likes Star Wars? Anybody seen Star Wars? You heard of it, right? Who doesn't like Darth Vader, right? I think he's the most popular character in the whole series, right? I'm also one, you know, I kind of like the new Joker movie just came out, right? I mean, I know I'm not supposed to go see it, but I'm probably going to go see it at some point. But I like the Joker, right? Batman, Joker, we like rooting for the Joker sometimes, right? And also in monster movies, I have to admit, I usually root for the monster. I don't know what it is. I just feel like these people should know better. I'm looking at them like, why are you going into the dark cave that's prohibited and it's got all the curses on there and it tells you not to go, but you're going to go anyway. So you kind of deserve what you get. Kind of how I see it. So, you know, I root for the monster sometimes. So the villain isn't necessarily the one who we clearly are going to go against. And ourselves, we can find ourselves being a villain. But they do have some very distinct traits. They tend to be emotionally unstable, right? They don't quite get along with others, right? They get a little insecure about who they are. Here's Pharaoh. Oh, they can go. No, they can't go. I need them to stay here. They tend to be a little sociopathic in their behavior. They don't seem to get it that they can't just kill people. It's like, it's okay if I go out and murder. It seems all right. I seem it's okay because of the way I was raised, or the way the things that I was brought up with. But they don't understand the harm that is going to cause everybody else. And sometimes, maybe it's not that drastic, but we do some things that are going to cause harm to others that we don't take it into consideration because we're just busy doing what we feel we need to do. I'm not pointing fingers because I do the same thing, but we need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, is what I'm about to do, the decisions I'm making, is it best for everyone? If everyone was to do the same thing, would it be beneficial? Little example, when I'm driving, and I'm going, and there's a long line because everyone is trying to get over into one lane so they can get off. Well, I don't like to get at the back of the line. I'll usually go ahead around everybody and kind of find a way to get in near the merge area. Does anybody do this? Well, you would say, what's the big deal? But see, I'm also causing more traffic in that way if I don't merge seamlessly in. But if I had just gotten in the back like everybody else, we would just trug on along, because if everyone did what I did, then everyone would just be at the end trying to get in right at the very end there, and there would be even worse traffic. So sometimes we have to look at ourselves, the decisions that we're making, and just ask, is this the best if everyone was to do this? How is it going to impact everybody else? It's a hard time letting go of things sometimes. This is another aspect of the villain. They don't want to let things go. They get stuck in a rut. They get in one place and they kind of stay there, right? The guys, they're obsessed about something. There's something they just can't get past. I'm reminded of Jason in Friday the 13th. Anybody seen these? I'm sorry for all these bad horror movie references this morning. No one's going to sleep tonight. It is October, so I guess it's the season. But this guy, usually there's a storyline, right? There's a background that this person went through something. Their mother did something to them. Their father did something. They grew up in an orphanage, and these horrible things happen, and they just can't let it go. They're stuck in this place, and Pharaoh was stuck in this place that he had to have the system that he grew up with. His father introduced him to this, and his grandfather and great-grandfather, that you would have these slaves and they would do these things, and I don't care what happens, you can't let these people go, no matter the plagues, no matter the deaths, you can't let these people go. And so we find Pharaoh stuck in this place, not able to let it go. And maybe it's not that drastic for us, but there are things in our lives that maybe we just are having a hard time of letting go. Maybe forgiving someone who did something to us in our past. And because we can't let go of that thing, it keeps us from new relationships, from having a healthy relationship with somebody else, because we're harboring, we're stuck in that old place. We can't let it go. Or maybe we were scared of something when something bad happened, or we failed younger, and we can't let it go, and so we can't step out anymore. We get fearful when we see opportunity. We just shut down when we see a good thing developing. We say, no, that's not for me, because of maybe something that happened, and we just can't let it go. We have to examine ourselves. Now, that doesn't sound like we're a villain, we're a bad person, but these are the traits that hold us back from doing what God wants us to do. Sometimes we're the victim. I look at the Israelites, love to play the blame game. It's always somebody else's fault. It's never mine. Something goes wrong, we find the other reason why it happened. It never falls in our lane why this thing happened. And by doing that, by not taking responsibility of that, we don't grow from the situation. The Bible says that the children of Israel, they find themselves, they were going to be freed from being a slave. They weren't getting paid. They weren't indentured servants. They were slaves. And they were being freed by this man. Miraculously, they saw the plagues. They saw the river run red with blood. They put the blood lamb across the door, and they saw their firstborn children live. And Pharaoh said, you can go. And here they are setting off in a new course, their own course. And at the first little sign of trouble, they cry out terrified. Moses, what have you done to us? Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to the desert to die? In the moment of their liberty, in the moment of their salvation, they couldn't even enjoy it because they were so stuck playing the victim. They grew up, woe is me. They grew up, life doesn't like me. I don't deserve to have anything good happen to me. And so when the blessings come, we just miss them. They go right past us. A good thing comes along, and because of our own self-doubt, our own victimization, we can't even love someone who loves us back. We find ourselves constantly victimizing everything around us. We relate more to Job than we do to Jesus. It's almost as if it's a self-fulfilling thing to have bad things happen. Some of us get caught in that place. It's like no matter which way I turn, bad things seemingly keep happening. We can't stay the victim. Bad things do happen. Challenges come about. And it's not about blaming the situation. It's not even about blaming ourselves. There is no promise without a perseverance. We have to lean on our salvation, lean on our faith of what God has given us. Find the goodness that that we do have. Lean on that strength and allow that to carry us through whatever that situation is. We never see the promise because without the faith, there is no perseverance. We have to claim the victory. We can't be the villain. We can't be the victim. We have to simply, time and time again, claim the victory. See, Moses didn't always understand what God was doing. God picked him and he said, "Why me?" He didn't want to go. He was a reluctant hero. But God said, "I'm going to use you." And even though he went there and Pharaoh kept saying no, he said, "Well, God has placed me here, so I must be here for a reason." God has placed you where you are for a reason. He's placed the things around you for a reason, the good and the bad. So we have to find the victory. Maybe the victory is not clearly to be seen. Maybe we can't see it clearly exactly what God is doing. But Jeremiah said, and maybe Moses knew this, and Jeremiah said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." See, maybe he understood that, or maybe he understood when Joshua proclaimed that, "Have I not commanded you, said the Lord, to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This is the victory that we have in the God that we serve. This is what Moses had to walk through and understand, that even though they were the villains, even though they were the victims, he knew that eventually they all would become the victors, because we had salvation in God. Because no matter how shaky the ground seems around us, no matter how much the enemy seems that he's winning the battle, David understood when he wrote the Psalms. He says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress. He is my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." This is the God we serve. We have to know the role that we play in life, the challenges, the hardships, the struggles, when it feels like a wrestle and not a dance. I would say, don't be the villain. Don't get angry. Don't want to get back at it. Don't be the victim. Woe is me. Eeyore with the cloud over your head all day. Be the victor. Stand firm in what God is doing in your life. Know that he has plans for you. And those plans are not to harm you, but they're to prosper you. To prosper you. As the band comes up, or as Liz and Rudy come back up, let us be consoled today. In those areas where we have unrest, those areas we have anxiety, we're not sure about what's going on, I ask you to invite God into those places. Invite Jesus into those areas to give you a peace and a rest to overcome these challenges that we go through in life. If there is a one who doesn't know Jesus today, I invite you now to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're looking for a church home, looking for a place to begin your path anew, to establish good roots. Invite you to join this station of Zion on your path with God. Is there one?
Let's all stand and sing of the goodness of God. His goodness is running after us. He's not just waiting around. He wants to share in that victory. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All of my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. You guys sound so good. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.